It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
And it's the best day of the week. James is here. I'm Kyle. Jiffy Lube's the sponsor. And we're rocking with you until noon. Thanks to everybody listening on ESPN 1320 AM. Appreciate everybody who's watching on YouTube and Twitch. YouTube.com/ESPN1320. Twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Salute and good morning to everybody in the chatty house. If you'd like to join the program, please do in the chatty house on YouTube and Twitch, or you can give us a call on the Elk Grove Kia Talk line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. We have still not been given a producer who can answer phones, so if you call the show, it might just ring for a while, but we'll get to you, I promise. I will, at the very least, pick up the call as quickly as humanly possible. Again, that's the Elk Grove Kia Talk line at 916-909-1320. Kings Rockets tonight. We'll dive into that. I had a thought on the 49ers quarterback situation on the way to work today. We'll get to that. But we made a little change to our routine today.
Yeah, we did.
A little Donut Friday on a Thursday.
I think that's what we have to call it, though.
Yeah, but we have to. I don't know if you've been keeping up in the chat.
It's got to be like Donut Friday brought to you on Thursday.
Yeah, that's it, because I've been doing this running bit in our Google chat here at work, just our internal chat.
Yep.
That the Donut Committee, pursuant to the new work from home schedule of the sales and operations staff, that we would be moving Donut Friday to Thursdays. And then our buddy John, sales guy John, said, "So is it Donut Thursdays now?" And I was like, "Well, no, we can't afford new marketing materials. So it's just Donut Friday that takes place on Thursday."
It's in the same budget as our producer.
Yeah, right.
It's our producer budget is so, and our marketing budget are the same.
So help me God. If they make Donut Fridays a thing where they like find a sponsor for it before we get a producer, I'm going to be angry.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be actually mad.
Hey, it's a good idea, though. I mean, at least that way we wouldn't have to buy donuts every Friday.
Oh, I'd be
or
I'd
every
be in.
Thursday.
I'd be in. I just would like a producer first.
Yeah,
so prioritizer.
The thing is, we kept bringing in donuts on Friday, and then like I brought in 24 one week, and there was like 6 people here.
Right. So they changed when new Aaron came, our new boss.
Yeah.
When he came in, he moved around the work from home days because our sales and operations staff are at home 2 days a week. He now made that Mondays and Fridays.
New Aaron handled it with grace. He came, at least to me, he said, so I was thinking about, like, Donut Friday. Is there any way with the new schedule that we might be able to, you know, I know it's you guys being extremely generous. Is there any way you could conceivably see a world in which we could have it on Thursday?
Yeah.
And it's like, I'll talk to Kyle.
Well, I was sitting right there when he did this. I heard all of that. Yeah. But yeah, man. So it's because the whole thing is it was a payday Friday thing when I worked in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Just like special thing. It's a Friday. And this is how we're going to do it. But I don't know, this is probably too much info, but the check hits on Thursdays.
Yeah.
So it's a payday Thursday. So it still plays. It still fits. And we don't have to bring just half a dozen donuts, and 2 of them are eaten by you and I because there's nobody here on Fridays.
Well, that and like
there's literally non on air people on Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
If we let's count Jesse as a non on air person, even though he technically is. So let's just count Jesse just to maximize the number of people.
That's right.
It's Jesse. New Aaron is typically here.
Yep. Me, you.
Well, we're on air people.
Oh no, you're right.
Thanks.
Like Jonathan would be there.
Oh yeah, Jonathan and Seth are our engineers.
Okay, but usually only one of them, not both.
Right. But if they're both here, that makes 4.
Okay. And then sometimes Charlie.
Oh yeah, Charlie's typically here. So yeah, 5.
Okay. Yeah.
Comfortably 5. And then people who are, you know.
Then
on
we have the us and the Justin Cases of the world.
I don't think Justin Case eats donuts though. Justin Case from 96.9 The Eagle.
Hmm.
I don't think he's a donut guy.
Okay.
He always talks about the donuts.
He does, but it's possible he doesn't delve in. You're right.
But like he just has the vibe, his overall look.
Yeah.
B, the way he walks, his gait says, "I don't eat a lot of junk food." His walk says, I walk 6 miles a day.
I love Justin. His
he's a phenomenal person.
Yeah,
big
his
fan of his.
Hairstyle tells me he drives a 76 Trans Am with the eagle on the hood.
1,000%.
With the eagle on the hood.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly correct.
Every time he leaves a stop sign, he leaves rubber.
If you've ever seen like a 1980s like high school or college movie, the cool guy from that movie, that's what Justin Case looks like.
Yes.
But
yes.
Just older.
Yeah.
Man.
Awesome.
What
dude.
A guy.
Awesome.
So yeah, it's now Donut Thursdays. Vibes are up. And it's the best day of the week. So this is really great. I didn't hit a ton of traffic today. I'm going to the Kings game tonight as a fan.
Oh?
Yeah, I'm not credentialing my way in.
Okay.
I have tickets. I'm going to go. I might drink a beer while I'm there.
Are you going to bring your credentials so you can at least go get cookies and halftime hot dogs and waters?
No, see, so I really thought about that. I thought, I was like, this is a good idea, but I don't, if I was around around Golden 1 Center more often,
uh-huh.
I think I'd be more comfortable doing that, but I'm not there enough
okay.
to justify doing that, where if I go down there, people would be like, wait, he wasn't here before, he's not impressed, Is he just
swiping bottles of
right,
water?
This is weird. It's right. Like, people know me. I know enough people in there. It's not like I'm a loner when I go, but I'm not there often enough that I would feel comfortable doing that.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's like when you go to somebody's house, you don't feel comfortable like walking and getting something out of the refrigerator.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, once you're there enough, you're like, hey, I'm grabbing, I need a water out of the fridge. Like, okay. Like, you're welcome. That's fine.
1,000%.
Yeah.
My in-laws, the first time I ever met them, my wife and I just started dating. So I go to their house, and her dad's going to cook, and it's a really good cook. And I walk in the house, and I take off my hat, and her dad looks at me, and you know, we shake hands, and he goes, you don't need to take off your hat. Beer's in the fridge. And just keep, he's like, okay.
All
that's
right.
Just what this is. I'm not going to. And so I would start asking everyone. I'd be like, hey, can I grab a beer, hey, can I grab a water or whatever, and her mom was finally like, hey, stop asking, just get up and get it. All right, you got it. And anyways, now we're married. So the 49ers quarterback thing, because we have a ton of Kings to get to, a ton of NBA to get to. I was thinking about this on the way in today, and I've been trying to find an angle on the Brock Purdy quarterback contract thing
mm-hmm.
that was not about how much he gets paid, when he gets paid, and all that. I was trying to craft a scenario in my head where the Niners go, you know what? We could do this again. We could say, to heck with Brock Purdy.
Mm-hmm.
We'll save the money that we were going to pay him, and either let him play out his deal or trade him this offseason, draft another couple of quarterbacks or sign a veteran that they're comfortable with, and draft another quarterback and let him battle it out in camp and just really fortify the roster, the offensive line, the defensive line, figure out what you're doing at linebacker. Like, I'm going, man, that's kind of what they did with Brock Purdy. And then you look at Sam Darnold and his situation this year, and man, he just cooked in the right situation. And maybe it's more about nature versus nurture, or nurture versus nature. And then I was really thinking about that today,
because
I thought there was some legs to that and some validity to it. But I think if you do that, you kind of just become the Pittsburgh Steelers. Where, okay, you might be good. Like, the Steelers are obviously good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Niners have a good head coach, so I think they'd be in a good spot. But I think your ceiling is just kind of what the Steelers' ceiling is, and that's win the division if it's a down year, go into the playoffs as a wild card most years, and you're going to lose in the first round.
Yeah, I think that there are a lot of teams in the league that try to do this, right? That try to, well, I mean, there are a lot of teams that just draft quarterbacks in the top five picks and fail miserably. Like,
happens a lot.
Like, the Jets are like the poster child for drafting quarterbacks that never develop.
Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson.
Yeah, even, well, I mean, you can go like way deeper than that. I mean, it's happened for like, feels like decades. Mm-hmm. Like, when Chad Pennington is one of the best quarterbacks you've had in the last
Mark Sanchez.
Two decades,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's a problem. But I look at like the Oakland Raiders and like just going out and getting a rando journeyman quarterback to fill in mm-hmm. for a year or two, it doesn't work. Like there is no continuity. There is no like way to build a base and to have something long term.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get the the reasoning because it's so much cheaper just to draft a quarterback, especially a late round quarterback that turns into
sure.
you know, an absolute gem. But it changes the way that you build your entire roster.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's tough. I mean, but I would rather pay a guy if you've got the right guy.
You have to. And that's where everything comes back to for me. What you just said there. If you have your guy, you pay him.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a quarterback who's a capable NFL quarterback, it's not about, oh, what would he get on the open market? Because I really think if Brock Purdy was on the open market right now, I think he and Sam Darnold would probably get about similar deals.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is he's not going to be on the open market. And the 49ers have him in their building. And the risk you run of paying him is, hey, you know what? Long term, he's just kind of what he was this year.
Yeah.
And if you put the right team together, hey, maybe you can make a deep playoff run, but yeah, you know what? Most years, you're kind of in that wild card mix, and that's what it is. But I think the risk and the reward is you potentially win a Super Bowl. The risk of letting him go is you go into this purgatory that you talk about with the Jets,
mm-hmm.
where you're now just in search of a quarter. The Bears too, up until Caleb Williams, who I think is going to be a good player.
Yeah,
just that you have nothing.
Quarterback for the Bears? I mean, I still feel like it's Jim Cutler. McMahon. Oh, it's Cutler? Okay.
Jay Cutler for sure.
Yeah.
But, we have a lot of Bears fans in the chat. Tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like Jay Cutler was the best Bears quarterback
for
a long time.
Yeah, but Jim McMahon is the only one that ever led you to any winning.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the problem.
You don't want to get there. Right, you don't want to be in that spot. So if you think that, and the 49ers do, that's the other thing about maybe you don't pay him. They're paying him. That's happening. How much it matters, and I was talking about this on the internet the other day, but how much he gets paid honestly means less to me than when he gets paid at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Paying him right now or in the next month or two, pre-free agency, which opens in the middle of March.
Yeah.
Paying him pre-free agency at $60 million annually, giving him top of market money, is less harmful than giving him, oh, hey, we got him at $49 million a year, but we signed him on August 27th.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got a problem.
That's got to stop.
Yeah, I think it will. Jimmy Garoppolo got his contract on February 8th.
Oh, okay.
A little bit different situation because he's going to be a free agent, but they could have tagged him and kept him around another year. They opted to pay him. They did that Feb 8.
Mm.
At least that's when the deal got reported.
Okay.
And it was the highest, at that point was the largest contract in NFL history. So, I like I said, I tried to talk myself into this weird route they could go where, you know what, hey, man, Brock just had a down year and maybe that's what he is, but if you don't pay him, you could very quickly become a team that doesn't win very many games for a lot of years.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that they make a decision quickly and that, but they also are able to get more like around the $50 million range.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what it's going to look like, but that's kind of, I think that there is a cap on Purdy a little bit as far as productivity and like where mm-hmm. he can take you.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's okay. He's a very good quarterback, but I don't think he's in the top upper echelon of quarterbacks, a top five quarterback. And I would like to see him paid, but I'd like to see him paid like around the 7 through 13 range.
Yeah.
In quarterbacks.
I'm right there, man.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you. So, that was just something I was kind of thinking about on the way in today because these are the thoughts that clang around in my head all the time. If you want a little insight into what goes on in my brain, James Ham's there. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. The Nets and Clippers game last night. I know this is random.
Yeah.
But follow me. That game was tied at 21 after the first quarter.
Mm.
And you think, oh, wow, look at the Nets putting up a fight early on against the Clippers. Nice. The Clippers went on to win the game 126-67.
How do you score 46 points in three quarters?
They went on a 105-46 run.
Like, how does that... I don't understand. Like, I did not watch the game.
I didn't either. This is full... I'm watching box scores right now.
I'm just confused. Like,
second quarter,
yeah,
the Nets outscored them 37-14. Third quarter, the Nets open on a... Or, excuse me. The Clippers outscored the Nets 37-14 in the second quarter.
Okay.
Third quarter, Clippers go on a 32-3 run to open the quarter.
Oh, no.
32-3. They win that quarter 44-16. And then the fourth quarter, they win 24-16.
So they like spread those 46 points out evenly over three quarters.
Yes. 21-14-16-16. It's the fewest points scored in an NBA game since November 18th, 2016. Dallas scored 64 in an 80-64 loss to the Grizzlies.
You know, this might be what happens, Kyle, when you trade all your players for draft picks.
And when Cam Johnson's out.
Just yeah.
I think D'Angelo Russell didn't play, too.
Well, that's not a surprise.
Their leading scorer was had 16 points, I think. They had somebody else with...
De'Ron Sharp scored 12.
Yeah, De'Ron Sharp had 12. It was another rookie, I think.
Oh, or, yeah, or Williams. It's Williams. But
not Jalen Williams.
No. It's something like that, though.
Jalen Wilson. It was a Jalen Wilson.
There we go.
16 points to lead the team. De'Ron Sharp has 12. Nobody else scored more than 8. Tyrese Martin, 3 of 16 from the field. They shot 25 of 83 from the field as a team and 5 of 28 from 3.
We could probably play a game. Is this a real Brooklyn Nets player or not? And see if people could guess.
1,000%. There are so many players that, like Zaire Williams, I've heard of Zaire Williams.
Yes, of course.
Nick Claxton, of course.
Uh-huh.
Here's one for you. Tosun Iwoma?
That's not a real person.
It is. Iwoma, spelled E-V-B-U-O-M-W-A-N. That's okay. A player. Derek Whitehead?
Oh, yeah.
Derek? Derek?
Derek Whitehead.
Derek Whitehead.
It's spelled...
D-A-R-I-Q. Reese Beekman is a player I've heard of for sure. I think Reese Beekman played for the Warriors.
I don't
know. He did. He did. Warriors legend Reese Beekman.
That's the only reason you know who he is. he does not exist.
Man, Keon Johnson, that's a player I've heard of.
Keon Johnson was top 20 pick. He was supposed to go like number 7 in his draft.
Yeah, 21st.
Yeah, and then he just completely fell apart. He was like raw athlete out of what? Is it Tennessee or is it Texas?
Tennessee,
yeah.
Good knowledge by you.
Yeah. Back in the old days when I did mock drafts.
So in the NBA, blowouts happen, obviously. But seeing 67 points in the modern NBA is so jarring. 67 points? And it wasn't even, so I was like, man, 59 points, that's got to be the biggest blowout in a while. I forgot that last year, Portland lost by 60 twice.
Oh.
Miami beat them by 60. OKC beat them by 62. Completely forgot that happened. And then, do you remember Memphis beating Oklahoma City 152-79 back in 2021?
No.
I very vaguely remember that.
Oh.
But if you had 73 points. Biggest blowout in NBA history.
Yeah,
59 is only the 10th biggest margin of victory ever.
So we're so used to high scores now because that's it. Like the NBA is not what it was in the 80s and the 90s. Kyle didn't live through most of that, but like if teams got to 100, it was kind of a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the Knicks who always like kept their opponents to around 82.
Mm-hmm.
It was like really slowed down, grinded out, not a lot of 3-point shots.
Yeah.
So to see basketball like this now where, you know, teams routinely go for 140 and sometimes higher. I mean, I was at the Kings game where 176, 175, double overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Like just wild.
Insane.
Yeah. Just absolutely crazy.
176 points.
Yeah.
That is 109 more points than Brooklyn scored. Last
night. That's wild.
Jarring, dude.
Yeah.
Other little bit of news here. Bob Uecker, baseball legend. known more for his broadcasting than his playing, was a multimedia star in his post-playing career. Everybody knows him, of course, as Harry Doyle, the broadcaster from the Major League movies.
Mm-hmm.
Broadcasted Brewers games up until the very end. He died at 90 years old. A legend, man, in every sense of the word. I was, when I was living in Arizona, I had the MLB at Bat app, so I could listen to A's games. But I would just throw on, you know, during nothing going on, you're sitting around the apartment in Arizona, fire up some baseball. And Bob Uecker was always one of my favorite broadcasters to go turn on, because it was like Harry Doyle, but just without the, can't be as raunchy on air.
Oh yeah,
FCC stuff. But yeah, same guy. Just an incredible voice. Baseball lost a real one, man.
Yeah, super self-deprecating and just hilarious. You also, I think you missed the Mr. Belvedere phase of his career.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he was, of course, on a sitcom called Mr. Belvedere,
mm-hmm.
where they had a British butler slash nanny, Mr. Belvedere.
Sure.
But again, like, just, you could just tell, like, a warm-hearted guy,
mm-hmm.
fun-loving guy. And yeah, he will definitely be missed. You know, we've lost so many great ones as far as pure baseball radio voices are just amazing. I just love it. I love listening to baseball on the radio.
It's the best. Yeah, Bob Uecker also played 6 years in Major League Baseball with the Braves, Cardinals. He won the 64 World Series with St. Louis. Man, a lifer. Shout out to Bob Uecker. He has passed away at 90, 10 days shy of his 91st birthday. That's a good run, though, man.
Yeah.
It's a good run.
90 is that's a good life.
Yeah.
He lived a good life.
Boy, did he. Last quick note, and then we'll dive into some Kings stuff. You know how we talked about the Bill Belichick Raiders thing?
Yeah.
And Bill Belichick's buyout with UNC if he left for the NFL before June 1 or whatever it was?
Mm-hmm.
It got reported today by CBS Sports, Jonathan Jones of CBS Sports, that Bill Belichick has not even signed his contract yet.
Oh, no. Well, first of all, wasn't it 400 pages long? And you probably have to sign in triplicate on like at least 120 of those pages. So, yeah, I mean, that could take a week to sign.
It has to be a formality. Like, it's as official as it can be. He just hasn't put pen to paper. There's got to be a reason. There's no way he's like,
DocuSign is sitting in his inbox.
He's like hiring people. He's like hiring people, and he's recruiting. He's doing all this stuff. There's just no chance, right? There's no way this hasn't been signed because he's like, hang on, right?
I don't know. Didn't he flip flop once before?
No,
didn't he go to the Jets and quit the next day?
Well, yeah, that did. You're right. That's a thing that happened. but also, I ask a question: something or nothing. I think this is nothing, because the only Belichick NFL rumor we've heard is that Tom Brady approached him and asked if he wanted to join the Raiders or if he would have any interest in that, and the continued reporting was that Belichick said no. And that's it. It's not like, oh, the Jaguars have an interview lined up with Bill Belichick or anything crazy like that. So this has to just be a formality.
Yeah.
It just hasn't been officially signed. Maybe he's signed something that has like locked him into a binding agreement or something, and he just needs to put pen to paper on, like you said, the actual full detailed thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's just, with a guy like Belichick, well, fishy.
Yeah, it's always a little, you're always waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah.
I don't know. I could see him taking that Raiders job.
I don't think so. Apparently they're closing in on Ben Johnson.
Oh, okay.
It'd be a nice little hire for the Raiders.
All right.
Offensive innovator in there.
Not the Canadian track star, Ben Johnson?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think he did that and then became the Lions offensive coordinator.
No.
I don't think that's the thing that happened. It'd be I hope so, and I hope Ben Johnson's a good coach. I want to talk about NFL coaching stuff later, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a bit. I don't think Belichick's coming back.
Okay. I kind of hope he doesn't, but I'm here for the drama of it.
I would love to see like North Carolina football just be awesome.
Yeah.
I want to see, like, I'm curious. The same way I'm curious with like Deion Sanders with the Cowboys. I don't care that much, but I'm fascinated. What would that look like?
Oh, I'm here for the like telenovela. Yeah, there we go. I'm here for that. Like, I think it's going to be like high drama. Like the entire time it's going to be like, oh, what is, oh no, that did not just happen. Like,
yeah,
the whole time.
It could be a soap opera. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Like the whole time. Like, I can't believe that just happened.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
You think the Cowboys will dangle Dak Prescott in a few picks to move up to get Deion's son?
Yes. I think that would be contingent upon, because there's no way. They were talking about this on Carlin versus Joe today, the show that's on before ours here on ESPN 1320. Like, okay, what if Deion goes to the Cowboys and then the Giants draft Shador and Shador Sanders is playing against Deion two times a year?
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine they'd let that happen.
That's going to be wild. Yeah, but you know the Giants aren't going to trade with the Cowboys. The Cowboys are going to have to go up in the top three, up in the top two. Yeah, I don't know. I'm here for it, though. I would love to see the Cowboys gut their entire draft stock.
It would be incredible.
In order to move to number one.
Oh,
and then pair up the Sanders and then watch the thing just burn.
Or maybe it'd be awesome. Maybe. I don't know. But it would be really funny to watch them try. You know what was not super awesome last night was my underdog lineup. I'm 0 for 6.
Oof.
I'm about to fire Mike Brown. 6 straight losses for me with underdogs pick'em game. It's supposed to be, it is super easy to play. You pick higher or lower on at least 2 player stats.
Okay.
Which I did last night. They have a ton of stats to choose from. You can do full game. You can do it by quarter, by half. It is an abundance of stats you can pick from. You're going up to 1,000 times your money or 1,000 times your entry. I'm on 6 straight losses. Last night I had Anthony Edwards higher than 25.5 points. He had a last second three that was meaningless in Minnesota's loss to Golden State. Got him to from 25 to 28 though. I was like, yes, nice. But then I checked the box score. Rudy Gobert had him to finish with a double-double. Only 7 points, 10 boards. So that's a no. And then Steph Curry had 4.5 threes. I was like, you know what? Steph's good for a stinker or two this year. Minnesota's a good defensive team. I'm going to go Steph Curry lower than 4.5 made threes. He made 4 in the first quarter, made 7 for the game. So that's on me. That's my bad. I missed 2 out of 3. I lost my lineup. That's 6 straight. I'm going to get back on the horse tonight.
Yes.
I've got a Kings Rockets lineup that I feel great about. We'll tell you about it later. If you want to play along, download the Underdog app, sign up with promo code KYLEM, and deposit now to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. That's promo code KYLEM. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. That lineup coming up in a bit. Kings Rockets tonight. We'll dive all the way into that game, matchups, what's at stake. Tons to get into on the Insiders here in the next couple hours. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center. James Ham's over there. I'm Kyle Madsen. Kings Rockets tonight at Golden 1 Center. Rockets on the second night of a back-to-back. The Kings have had a day off. Good fade. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. The Rockets played last night, blew out the Nuggets 128-108 with no Jabari Smith and no Tari Eason. Houston now 27-12 and the number 2 seed. Of course, the last time these two teams played was at Golden 1 Center. It got a little chippy.
Mm-hmm.
You had people getting ejected. You had fights nearly starting in midcourt. You had De'Aaron Fox kicking some ass. And you had the Kings getting a big-time win over the Houston Rockets. And that was the final high point, I believe, of the Mike Brown tenure because everything kind of fell apart after that. What I'm interested to see, though, is how the Kings respond to the Rockets, knowing how things got, especially between Dylan Brooks and De'Aaron Fox last time, how they respond to that kind of emotional, what's the word I'm looking for? The
highs and the lows of, yeah.
Yeah, I guess the added emotion that comes with this game now that Doug Christie is leading the way. Mm-hmm. And so much of what he's been preaching is about the us versus them mentality.
Yes.
And it was like the Kings captured that against Houston in that game earlier this season, back in December. Mm-hmm. It's like they captured that for a game, and we got on the radio and we're like, they need to figure out, and Mike Brown said it in his post-game presser, got to figure out how to do this every night. And Doug Christie has now, for me, apparently figured that out. And you can tell in the way the Kings compete, so I'm fascinated to see how they approach this game tonight against a Houston team that it got a little messy with last time.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, there was a phase right there at this point in the schedule where the Kings had a couple of games in a row where players, opposition, were tossed out of games, mm-hmm. where the frustration level of the opponent, like, started mm-hmm. to bubble up. Mm-hmm. And then they lost that, whatever that edge was that they had, and then they go into the 5-game losing streak that leads to Mike being mm-hmm. let go. To me, like, the Rockets are a team that, like, look, they're on the rise in the same way that the Kings were on the rise a few years ago. But at the same time, like I told you before the season, I believe the Rockets are the most talented from top to bottom roster in the NBA. They're just a couple of years away. Mm-hmm. And I still feel that way. I still feel like they're a team that, yes, they could beat the Sacramento Kings tonight and they could actually win 55 games this season and be a team that, you know, like goes into the playoffs as a second or third seed in the Western mm-hmm. Conference. That doesn't mean that I think that they're a title contender or that I think that they're going to be able to, mm-hmm. you know, dominate the West and this is an unwinnable game. Mm-hmm. Like the Kings can beat this team, especially if they're missing a couple of players, even if they were full strength, I think the Kings can still beat this team.
Sure.
Because they're young and they make mistakes, and that's kind of the process of growing into being a great team, is you have to take these baby steps along the way. Mm-hmm. And I think the Rockets have skipped a couple of steps right now. But again, the season
27-12 through 39 is an impressive record.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But we're almost to the midway point in the season. The second half of the season is right in front of us, mm-hmm. and I want to see what they look like in, again, the last 25, 27 games after the All-Star break. How do you come out? Are you still punching, or are you a team that fades a little bit? Mm-hmm. Like Dave Yeager's last year coaching the Sacramento Kings, where they were like red hot going into the All-Star weekend, mm-hmm. and then the second half of the season, they really faded.
It feels like you're really dramatically selling the Rockets short. You just compared them to the Dave Yeager Kings?
Well, no, they're a lot more talented. That's insane. They're a lot more talented than the
Dave
Yeager Kings.
They're 27-12. No, they're the number two seed in the West.
Yeah, but I don't think that they're going to hold on to that. What is that win percentage? Like 700 win percentage?
Yeah, but they've won six out of their last seven.
Yeah.
Their one loss was to the Celtics. They beat the Lakers and the Wizards. But then they beat Memphis on the road. They beat Memphis at home. And then they just blew out the Nuggets last night. Without Jabari Smith and without Tari Eason, like they are the thing that is impressive to me with the Rockets, and the reason I'm with you for the most part on would I bet on them to go to the conference finals? No, depending on their matchup in the first round, I probably wouldn't even bet on them to win in the first round.
And that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and that's but I don't. I think what they've done with the accumulation of young talent. That they have, mm-hmm. and then just at the exact right moment, saying, "Here's a bunch of money for Fred VanVleet. He's going to run things. This is a seasoned veteran, an NBA champion. We're going to maybe overpay him, but we're going to bring him in. And he's going to run things. Dylan Brooks. We're going to add him and the edge that he brings defensively. Got him at like bargain basement. Going to bring in Ime Udoka, a guy who actually knows how to coach, and we're going to bring this young group along. That's what separates Houston for me, where if they did go in and win a series mm-hmm. or sneak into the conference finals, it's like that to me is what makes them different from just like, oh yeah, they're just a collection of young dudes running around and making some plays right now. Like I think they've built to this point where it's a little more real than just, oh, some young guys figured it out for a little bit.
No, I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's what I'm saying either. What I do think is, though, like what we saw last season with the Oklahoma City Thunder, when they took this same meteoric rise, right? They not only held up the whole season, but then they backed it up the next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that that's who Houston is yet.
Sure.
I'm not convinced that that's who they are yet.
Yeah.
Like maybe the NBA is being rewritten where you don't need that step in the middle to get to the top end of the division. But I also, like, they're out there trying to win every single regular season game. Mm-hmm. And we'll see what happens at the end of the season when, you know, again, a lot of teams, a lot of veteran teams turn it up and start worrying about their positioning and where they're going to finish the year. And we'll see how they hold up. But again, I firmly believe this is, like, on, like, they have the most talent, the biggest talent collection in the NBA. And that's why I keep saying if you do ever get to a point where you have to trade De'Aaron Fox, he has a home there in Houston. Like, that's the team I'm going to.
So you say the biggest talent collection in the NBA. My first reaction to that is like, well, let's relax. But then you take out Jabari Smith, who is an outstanding young player, and Tari Eason, who has just been a menace for them defensively this year. And they still roll out Fred VanVleet. And Dylan Brooks are the two veterans. But then Alperen Şengün, Amen Thompson, and Jalen Green are all in the starting lineup. Cam Whitmore still comes off the bench. Jayshon Tate still comes off the bench. Reed Sheppard still comes off the bench. Like, oh my God. It's insane.
How many top-tier picks they have?
So many. And they've all hit.
Yeah.
Like, that's the other thing about this is you see teams all the time just try and throw top three picks at the wall and see what sticks. And it's like, oh, you got one. You picked in the top three four times in 7 years, and one of those players is good.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like every player they drafted in the lottery or just outside the lottery is a good player.
Yeah, but I mean, it does help that, you know, Jalen Green is the second overall pick, that Jabari Smith Jr. is the third overall pick, that Amen Thompson is a fourth overall pick. And Reed Sheppard is, what, the third overall pick? The third overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does help that you have all of those selections. And then on top of that, the guys like Tari Eason, you know, these are, you know, after the lottery, but before the end of the first round type guys. They're the, like, 16 through 25 guys that if you can hit in that range, that's where you build all of your rotational depth.
Yep.
And again, I think Cam Whitmore, he barely gets to play for them, if at all. I think he's an incredible talent. I would take him anytime. Alperen Şengün, I mean, he's an all-star.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, he's absolutely, he's putting up near Sabonis stats. He's at 19.3, 10.4 rebounds, 5.1 assists. Like, he's so incredibly crafty and gifted. So I think you do have all of these pieces, and you talked about the mixture with the veterans that they brought in. I think they've hit on all of those veterans too. Like, Dylan Brooks brings a certain edge to him. VanVleet is, you know, he's an NBA tough guy as well. And then you go out and you add guys like Steven Adams and Jeff Green, Aaron Holiday, just like solid, solid veterans all around these players to support them in the right way. And I think sometimes Dylan Brooks leads them astray. That's what we saw with the Kings in the Kings game earlier in the season. I think it was his fault that the game got out of control.
Yep.
Then Tari Eason got all amped up and went nuts. And like, but Dylan Brooks, there's an edge to him, and you gotta live on with that edge because sometimes it's great and sometimes it's just a hot mess.
Yep. Kings starters for tonight: the usual suspects, De'Aaron Fox. It looks like Malik Monk is going to be back. He's listed as probable on the injury report with that groin injury. And then DeMar DeRozan, Keegan Murray, and Domantas Sabonis. For the Rockets, they played last night, so no injury report submitted. Fred VanVleet, Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, Amen Thompson, and Alperen Şengün started for them last night. So my guess is that's the group tonight. And my matchup of the game is Keegan Murray against Jalen Green.
Yeah.
Or Keon Ellis against Jalen Green. Whoever's guarding Jalen Green.
Yeah, I think that's a big one. I also want to see the Amen Thompson, Keegan Murray matchup. And hey, I love watching Sabonis and Şengün battle. Because Şengün doesn't give a bunch of space. What he does do is he flops like crazy, which gets under the skin of Sabonis. Sabonis wants to grab him by the ankles, like Hulk smash that guy. You can tell. Just like, hey, man.
Wasn't that what happened last year when he busted up his leg and was out for the year?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah.
Anyway, Şengün is incredible. Absolutely
such
love watching him play.
Player.
Yeah, I just hate the flopping.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The over-exaggerated fake flopping, just like, and Sabonis is standing there like, aren't we grown men?
Especially because Alperen Şengün is one of those guys that it's annoying because you see like the good ass footwork to get a look at the basket, But instead of just putting, he like does the like rip through move and throws it. It's like, bro, just go score the basket. You did it. You did the thing. You did what you were supposed to do. Yeah. It's a great move. Ugh, the worst.
That's right.
All right. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Matz. We'll have more Rockets Kings coming up for you in a bit, including keys to a Kings win right here on ESPN 1320. It's Sacramento Sports Leader. Kind of a lot at stake for the Kings tonight. And I mean this more like, not necessarily, I want to look at their upcoming schedule for sure, but a lot of things went their way last night.
Okay.
You had the Spurs lose.
Yeah.
You had
Dallas
lost.
Yeah.
Minnesota lost.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're at a spot where you win tonight, you're currently tied with the Warriors for the 10 seed, who beat Minnesota last night. You untie that 10 seed, you gain a half game on Minnesota, you gain a half game on 7 seed Dallas, and you gain a half game on 6 seed LA. All those teams are idle.
Ooh.
And when you start talking about just stat, and this is a half game on January 16th doesn't sound like a big deal, but when you see how close things were in the playoff race last year and how close it looks like things are going to be this year, that half game could mean a lot.
No, I totally agree, man. At this point, they're 4 games behind the Denver Nuggets for the 4 seed.
Like four games, dude.
They're right there. Like that's totally possible to make up 40 games over 40.
Mm-hmm.
So they're right in the thick of it, and this is where you want to be. I continue to say that I believe Dallas is going to tumble. They have a chance to recover once Luka and Kyrie are back, but until that point, I think they're going to tumble. Like they could, where they catch, I'm not sure whether it's going to be 10 or it's going to be 12 or maybe it's 9, and then they start to build back up. But for starters, they're going to fall. And in the same way that I think Phoenix fell.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Phoenix is actually even like they've got a leg up on them because at least their stars are still playing. They just aren't playing well. So, yeah, interesting stuff.
To your point on Dallas, just while we're looking at schedules, they've lost 3 in a row, Nuggets, Pelicans. They have OKC coming up, and Dallas is 22-19. They're the 7 seed.
Uh-huh.
They have Oklahoma City coming up. Then they're at Charlotte. Then they're home against the Timberwolves. Then they're at Oklahoma City, home against Boston. Then they get the Wizards and Pelicans, but then Pistons, Cavs, Sixers, Boston, Houston, Kings. Like, there's a chance they lose a bunch of games in there.
No, there is. There's a...
Man.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a weird schedule.
Mm-hmm.
At Pelicans, so they go to New Orleans, which is not a far jaunt from Dallas. But they go to New Orleans, then they come home to play Oklahoma City, then they go to Charlotte, then they come home to play Minnesota, then they go to Oklahoma City, then they're home for 2 games, and then they go on the road for 5 games. That's strange.
Yeah, that's wild.
Perks of being in the middle of the country, I guess.
Okay.
The Kings, on the other hand, this is why tonight is such a big deal for me, is A, just how last game went. You want to go get this one.
Yeah, you need to get that like weird taste out of your mouth.
I'm sorry. Yes, you're not wrong, but the last game against Houston, you don't want to go lose to the team that started a fracas last time. But you win tonight, you're a game over 500.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get Washington and Golden State, 2 imminently winnable games. That could get you 3 games clear of 500, and you may not see the 500 mark again the rest of the year.
That would be the hope, especially there's a 6-game road trip coming up that is crazy.
Brutal.
And you need to have some sort of like buffer going into that.
No back-to-backs, though.
No back-to-backs.
There is one to start the road trip.
Yeah.
At Denver to start the road trip is Thursday after playing Golden State on Wednesday.
Okay.
But to me, man, if you get this Houston game, you feel really good about like, okay, 1-7 in a row, had that hiccup on the last night of the road trip. Now you come home, you beat the best team you're going to face in these 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get a Wizards team that is ass. The Wizards might be the worst team I've ever seen.
Yeah.
With all due respect to the process Sixers.
Yeah, because they didn't intend to be this bad.
Right.
So like when they leave, when the like you want to like spray Lysol all over,
yeah,
like
dude,
go out there with cans of Lysol, just spray that entire area, like all the way down the hallway, go into the locker room. Like, I don't want that.
And you get them after 2 days off.
Yeah.
You play tonight, then you don't play again until Sunday.
The Kings have the strangest schedule here to build up to the road trip. So it's what is it? Thursday, Sunday, Wednesday,
yeah,
all at home.
But then Thursday, Saturday, Monday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Man.
Then they hit the road. And like, look, this is a better road team than they are a home team. We know that.
Sure.
And that road trip, no matter how crazy and brutal it is, I mean, you mm-hmm. got Denver, you got,
tough
then
team.
You go to the Knicks, the
tough
Nets.
Team.
Yeah. Well, the Nets aren't.
The Nets are not.
76ers aren't still. I mean, maybe Embiid plays and it's a little different. Then you have OKC and Minnesota to finish
two
the
tough
trip.
Teams.
Yeah. And then you come back for Orlando.
Good team.
Yeah. I mean, like their
Boy.
Schedule.
Then this is where, so, and this is why for me, I look at this stretch and it's like, all right, what are you? Mm-hmm. You're 20-20. DeMar DeRozan said in the Sacramento Bee yesterday, you gotta, you know, lost this one. We've got to figure out how to, you know, we dug this hole in the West and now we got to start climbing. This is where you climb. This is it. You can't come out of this stretch of games, and maybe they do. You can't be, so February 3rd is the last game of the road trip. You can't be sitting here on February 4th around the 500 mark.
You need to have at least build 3 or 4 games over. Like, you get your 3 games here,
mm-hmm.
but if you can go 500 on that road trip somehow,
yep,
and come out of that road trip still 3 games over, and then when you get back from that road trip, the Orlando game is tough, but then you have at Portland, you've got, you host the Pelicans, you've
Winnable.
Got Dallas,
Winnable.
Pelicans back-to-back, and Warriors.
And then Charlotte.
And then Charlotte.
And then Utah.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. So this is where like rubber meets the road for me. Are you that team?
Mm-hmm.
Are you that team that won 7 in a row, that we thought was going to win 50 plus games, that was going to cruise into the playoffs and not have to worry about all the play-in nonsense? Or are you about a 500 team and you're looking for the 5 wins you're going to need to get into the play-in?
Yeah.
This is the stretch. Because yeah, it's brutal. But that's where beating a team like Houston, that you're just, okay, what am I trying to say here? You have the talent to go beat Houston. They're not like an insurmountable foe. We've seen it already.
No, you can beat them. You couldn't beat them last year for some reason.
Yeah.
They went 0-4.
Crazy.
Either 0-3 or 0-4. It was that team, and it was, of course, the Pelicans.
So you can beat the Rockets. That's the number 2 seed in the West. Winnable games after that. But then it's like, go win in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Go get one against the Knicks. Go get the Thunder or the Timberwolves on the road. Like, that's what I would like to see here.
Yep.
Is can you beat those good teams? Can you prove that you belong in that conversation?
Yeah, I think even the road trip, too. I mean, Denver is a beatable team. The Knicks are really tough. I don't know. I mean, the Kings don't match up well against the Knicks at all.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a tough game. The Nets is a totally winnable game. It's 76ers. You have no idea which players are playing. OKC is one of the most difficult games on the schedule. And then Minnesota, where you have beat them in Minnesota, you have beat them in the past, and you do match up reasonably well, and they're not the same team they were last year. I'd also point out that when the game's coming out of that, when you go to, you see Orlando, I don't think Orlando's going to do anything at the trade deadline. Nothing major, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Portland, which Portland could get gutted right before the trade deadline on the 6th. And then Saturday, February 8th, I believe, is the trade deadline.
The 6th is the trade deadline.
The trade deadline. Okay, yeah. So then you're going to play New Orleans, but you're going to play New Orleans 3 times in a 4-game stretch. And New Orleans could get crushed at the deadline.
There's a chance like Zion's gone
or
Brandon Ingram.
Yeah,
like they could clean house entirely.
Yeah,
man. I mean, this is it.
Yeah, it's a moment. But we always talk about these moments, and then you know what happens? Like, bad things happen. Like,
that's true.
And that's where we have to wait and see if Doug Christie's Sacramento Kings are different than the Kings of the past.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Are you more 2022-23, or mm-hmm. are you more 2023-24 and the first 30 games of 24-25?
That's what it all comes down to for me, man.
Yeah.
So it all. The other thing, D'Lo and Casey were talking about this yesterday. Talked about this a lot yesterday, and I'm with them, man. It's time for the Kevin Huerter DNP.
Oh,
I need it.
Okay.
I'd rather, like, if you're gonna throw 10 minutes at someone, Why not let Colby Jones run around?
Yeah,
because if Kevin Herter's not hitting shots, I don't need to see him.
I do think that you're going to have a tough time, like tonight specifically. Number one, Jordan McLaughlin is out.
Yeah,
he's out for personal reasons. Mm-hmm. I think I know what's going on there, but I'm not going to go out on the airways and say. Number two, you have Devin Carter, who is questionable with a shoulder injury. And so there's a possibility, just flat out, you need Kevin Herter in tonight's game. I would rather see Kevin Herter minutes than Colby Jones. Now,
You'd rather see Kevin Herter over Colby Jones?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't know that I might get to a point.
I don't, whenever Kevin Herter's on the court, now I'm just like, what do you go, a minus 24 the other night against Milwaukee?
It was at that point at a point during the game, and I'm not sure what it ended up. But I also, like, are you going to turn to Mason Jones?
Oh, no, he finished a minus 24 in 18 minutes.
I would like to see Mason Jones get at least an opportunity, but I'm not going to pin my hopes for the Sacramento Kings.
No doubt.
You know, win against Houston Rockets on a guy that, you know, hasn't played in... I think he's played two games with the team this year.
I don't need to watch him anymore. Like, I know what I'm going to get. Yeah. I know exactly what it's going to look like. And I'd rather see, yeah, maybe it's Mason Jones and maybe it's a disaster for 5 minutes, but you know what? Fine. You tried it out. And that's not really been Doug's thing. He's really been sticking with his guys and let him play through mistakes, and that's how it's going to be. Put your arm around him. So we're probably going to see Kevin Herter, but I don't need to see anymore.
Hey,
I can't remember the last time I was like, oh man, good thing number nine was on the court.
I would have really liked to have seen Isaac Jones play against the Bucks.
Same.
And we're not seeing that right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
at least not in regular time.
Yeah. I mean, playing 2 minutes at the end of the game, that's not really...
Yeah, right. Yeah, garbage time.
Yeah, that doesn't mean much. Like, I mean, it means something, but it doesn't mean much for... Like, that doesn't mean that you're part of the rotation or anything, so...
Here's my underdog lineup for tonight. It's all Kings Rockets, or Rockets Kings. Underdogs pick 'em game, obviously super easy. Download the Underdog app. You pick higher or lower on at least two player stats from two different teams. And you're going up to 1,000 times your entry. It's super easy. It's my favorite way to watch sports. So here's what I'm rocking with tonight. I'm 0 for my last six.
Mm-hmm.
And I always try to, when I get on a little losing streak, I always try to get like I really dig in and try to get to the nitty gritty. And I'm like, okay, I feel really good about this one. And I try and go logic and this and that. It's not working for me. So I'm just swinging big. Jalen Green, I'm going higher than 24.5 points tonight for the Rockets.
Okay.
I've got Domantas Sabonis higher than 15.5 boards.
Whew.
He's on a tear right now. I feel good about it.
All right.
And then I've got De'Aaron Fox higher than half a double-double, so I need him to get a double-double tonight. Points or boards, points or assists, I don't care, but I think we're going to get a pissed off De'Aaron Fox.
Ooh. This is a TNT game, man.
The multiplier on this makes it, with the flex option, that I win... more than six times my entry, even if I only get 2 out of 3.
Oh.
That's what we're working with on Underdog, so play along with me. Download the Underdog app, sign up with promo code KYLEM, and deposit now to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. That is promo code KYLEM. And if you want to follow my lineup, or maybe fade my lineup since I'm 0 for my last six, you can just hit me up on social media or whatever, and I'll give it to you so you can... do with it what you please. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. I feel good about it tonight. The De'Aaron double-double is really what I'm hoping for.
That's
it doesn't happen a lot.
That's a little crazy.
What? Okay. You mentioned...
Hey, yeah, double-double last
game.
You
were in the back of my mind like, hey, maybe he's watching Jalen Carter and realizing it. And I just think TNT game against the Rockets, and De'Aaron's got that... When De'Aaron plays with a chip on his shoulder, he's really freaking good.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to have that little chip tonight. I don't think we're going to see that really passive De'Aaron Fox.
Okay.
No, I think he is going to go try and put a stranglehold on this game, and I think he wants to single-handedly win it.
I'm here for it.
Give me that De'Aaron double-double.
All right.
Anyways. I need to fix something real quick. because I just realized I messed something up, and that's fine. We can fix this together. I'm going to copy this, and then I'm going to paste this right here.
Oh.
Okay. We're good. We're all set. All right. We'll have more Rockets Kings coming up. Keys to a Kings victory. We need to start keeping track of keys, by the way.
Okay.
And then revisiting them.
We should revisit the
keys.
Yeah.
We started talking. I was like, all right, so we're going to have keys to the game, and then we'll revisit those tomorrow to see if the Kings actually listen to us or not. And then the Kings moving up the NBA power rankings. How high can they climb? We'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320. It's Sacramento Sports Leader.